Welcome from the Difference Church. Our message this week is titled How to Experience the Indescribable Goodness of God. Let's listen in as Pastor Ken Willis gets started.
Well, in preparing for today's service and just talking to the Lord, and I believe I've got a good word. I believe I'm spot on this morning. Praise God. Well, I believe that every service, or I wouldn't be bringing it. But I just think today is going to be a great, great word for each and every one of us. And so I'm ready. Hallelujah. So go with me. Well, before I tell you that, let me get there. But you can go ahead and be turning to Psalm 34. You can go ahead and be turning there. In thinking about today's service, and even this as we were worshiping, maybe some of you saw me pull my phone out. The Lord had me looking something up real quick, but he began to talk to me about His glory and His goodness. Well, today we're going to be talking about the goodness of God, but He reminded me of that verse where Moses said, "God, show me Your glory." You know, that's what we want to see, right? We just want to see the glory of God. Amen. And so God says, well, I tell you what, and listen to the way God equated His glory. He said, I'll show you My goodness. The goodness of God is the glory of God. See, He said, show me Your glory. He says, yeah, I'll show you My goodness. And he hit him in the cleft in the rock. And as I go by, because we in the Old Testament, we could not see God face to face or it'd kill you. Right. So, but as he says, as I go by, you can look and you can see My goodness. And then as you begin to continue to read through that in Exodus, you begin to find out what the goodness of God is. The goodness of God is the power of God. The goodness of God is the presence of God. And all this is the glory of God. God's glory is His power. It is His presence. It is His goodness. So anyway, just today's message, what I'm calling today's message is how to experience. This is what I want to help you with today. How to experience. How many would like to experience the goodness of God? Amen. Which is His glory, which is His power, His presence, His provision. Everything that God is, I mean, it's His glory, right? So if we want to experience it, I want to teach you today how to experience this is the title of the message. It's kind of a long one. Hang with me. How to experience the indescribable goodness of God, right? So as good as we may try to do to describe His goodness, it is so much better than earthly words could ever put it in. That's one thing you need to remember. I'm gonna describe some things today, and I just got through describing what some of His goodness is. His power, His presence, His provision, right? His purpose for you. I mean, all that's the goodness of God. And yet, even with all that, I still fall way short of truly describing it, because God's goodness is really indescribable. God wants so much more for us. What does it say over in Ephesians 3:20? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, far above, one translation says, all that we could ask or think or dream or even imagine, right? I think the Amplified says it like that. Far above all that we could ask, think, dream, or imagine. God is just that good. Amen? Amen. All right, you with me? Okay, so here we go. Psalm 34, let's read this. In the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. Now remember what we're talking about. Anybody remember the title yet? How to experience the indescribable goodness of God. First of all, do you believe that you can experience the indescribable goodness of God? Do you believe that God's will is for you to pour out His blessing and His goodness on your life? Well, the Bible says He does. Well, if the Bible says He does, I'm not going based on my experiences, right? So we don't want to say, in my life experience, I'm not consulting your life experience. Because if I even consulted my life experiences, I could probably come up with, well, you know, I mean, God's been good to me sometimes, but everything hasn't been good. So, you know, it must not be his will for me to always have good things, you know, or to experience his goodness. Just because you don't experience the goodness of God doesn't mean that God, that's not what God wants for you. I mean, no, there's people that die and go to hell. By the way, in today's world, we need to understand there really is one, right? But the goodness of God, that he sent Jesus and made a way for us not to even go there. But just because people experience that, does that mean, well, that must have been God's will for them? No, God's will is good. It is wonderful. It is exciting. It is awesome. And I tell you what, I have experienced the goodness of God. And I will continue to experience even more of the indescribable goodness of God. Amen. This is going to be a good word today, because this is going to help you to know how you can actually do that, right? So we know that God's good, and that God is good, because the Bible says he is. He says, the Bible says God is good and only good. It's actually in the Bible. Yeah, but most people believe that God is bad and he does bad things. But that's not even in the Bible. That's because that's what the world has projected. That's what religion has projected, trying to paint this image of God. But how about we just get back to what the Bible says? Why do we put so much trust in just what a man says? I don't even want you to trust what I say just trusting me. I want you to trust what I say because what I'm saying lines up to the word. So really, what am I saying? Let's trust the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says and say, hey, I trust that because God's word is legit. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's continue to read. Let's see what he says about this. He says in Psalm 34, starting in verse 1, I will praise the Lord at all times. Does that mean, is there ever a time we shouldn't be praising God? Well, if you're praising the Lord at all times, is there any room for complaining? Is there any room for speaking bad things? Right? Saying how horrible things are, how bad our government is, how this, how that. Why even waste our time speaking all that stuff? I mean, you're already going to be going through the effort and using the energy to form words, right? We're already going to be doing that. Everybody does that, whether they're speaking negative or speaking positive. You're already using that energy, going through the effort to form words. Why not just use that effort and the forming of words to form good words instead of bad ones, right? And so that's what he's saying here. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Come on. When you get around someone that's always speaking negative, I mean, does that just jack you up? Or do you just like, man, this is like the greatest day ever? Man, I'm so glad I found a really negative person today. Man, I've been looking. I woke up this morning just trying to find me a negative person to hang around. No, no. What is it? Listen, when we get around negative people, what do we really want to do? Oh, I'm going to go hang out with Brent because he's a positive person. Because being around with positive people is like, and I know I'm off the camera, I'll be back there in a minute, Facebook. But hanging around with positive people, it just makes you feel good, doesn't it? You just want to be around someone that's positive. You just want to be around someone that says, man, I like your shirt. Yeah, I was talking to you, man, I like your shirt. It's awesome. You just want to be around someone that is positive, and it just makes you feel good. And you say, if you're sitting here today and you're like, oh man, I think I'm that negative person. Hey, you can change. That's the beautiful news. If you feel like you're that negative person, you can change. That's what's so good about the gospel. You get Jesus in your life and you begin to look on. I love this song. It's an old song. It's an old song, but I love it. And I don't even know who wrote it. And I don't really care, but I love the song. It says, turning my eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his glorious face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, we keep our eyes on Jesus and we're like, hey, man, there's things going on in my heart and things are going on in my life that I just like, I don't like this. So don't just dwell on what you don't like. What if we begin to, how many know the more you think about how bad things are, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel worse, doesn't it? So what if thinking on the negative makes us feel worse? Let's start thinking on the positive. Why? Because when you get around positive people and you hear good news makes you feel good. Right. Bring about what you think about. Very well said. Jerry Savelle says it this way. Your life goes in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So what if we begin to think? And that's what this is saying. He says, I will pray. This is David, the psalmist. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will, man, you guys are probably thinking, are we ever going to get through this first passage? I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. You know what boasting is? That's building up. That's talking big of somebody. You're boasting about it. Some people like to boast about themselves. Well, that's not so good. But we do want to boast in the Lord. Oh man, God. That's what Pastor Heather was talking about a while ago, wasn't it? God, you were when she talked about, remember talking about the magnifying glass? She had no idea what I was speaking on today. Right? And so she begins to talk, and I'm just over there smiling. I'm like, God, you are so good the way you line things up. Right? But she's talking about magnifying God, making God big. How do you do that? I will constantly keep his praises in my mouth. I will praise the Lord at all times. Look at verse 2. I will boast only in the Lord. Let me keep moving. I got to get going here. I will boast only in the Lord. This is so good. Let all who are helpless take heart. In other words, all those that feel helpless, all those that feel like there is no hope, all those that feel like, man, this is never going to turn around. Come on, don't keep saying that. Don't keep talking about that. What if you begin to say, you know, I know it looks pretty bad right now, but my God is a really big God. I serve a God that is just amazing. He's the creator of the universe, but he's still as big as he is not forgotten about little old me. I just believe God is big enough to take care of anything. I believe that God is big enough to help me with anything. I don't care if it's my attitude. I don't care if it's my job. I don't care if it's my family, my wife, my daughter, my husband, my kids, my whatever. I just believe God is big enough. What if we got up every day and said, God, I just believe you're big enough. We start our day off with that. You wake up. God, I believe you're big enough. God is big enough. You know, there's some signs. Maybe we need to get some of those signs made up. I think this, you see these signs? It's from Willamette Community. Pastor Scott over here is an amazing guy, Scott Miller, right? And they got these signs out, and I believe that's the church it's from anyway. I just gave a shout out to somebody. But anyway, but these signs, I'm pretty sure that's where they're from. But it says Jesus. Anybody seen them? Jesus is better. Jesus is better. I think maybe we need to get some signs that says God is big enough. God is big enough. God is big enough to help me with every crisis. He's able to help me with every situation. God is big enough. What if we thought about that all day? God, you're big enough. Instead of, oh man, I don't see how this is ever going to turn around. Come on, no. God is big enough. Maybe that's what I should have called this message. God is big enough. But he says, I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. You ever notice when I say that, I always get up on my tippy toes. It's like, oh, I want to tell of his greatness, right? Come and let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. What a concept. I prayed and he answered me. Did you know God? The Bible says God answers the prayers of the righteous. God answers. He don't only hear us. Prayer is not something that we just do as a formality. It's not, oh, well, you're a church, you're supposed to pray, but whoever actually believes that the prayers are going to get answered. No, we do. We do. When we pray, we believe God hears us. And when we believe he hears us, we believe he answers. You know, over in 1 John, it says this in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says this. What does it say? It says something really cool. The Thank you, Holy Spirit. But anyway, what it talks about, it says that when we pray, let me just turn over there. That's one of my favorite verses. I can't even think how it's worded. Okay, I got to get this to you. 1 John. I usually quote that really easy, but that's okay. Chapter 5 and verse. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this is the confidence that we have. Then when we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we will receive the things we have asked of him. This is confidence, man. Because God is why? Because God is big enough. He's big enough. The indescribable goodness of God, he is big enough to help us experience that. But he's giving us some keys to how to do that. And here are those keys. Listen to these words. Verse 1 was, I will speak his praises. In verse 2, I will boast only in the Lord. How do we boast? By talking about how big something is. How awesome something is. Even if you go around boasting about yourself, let's just switch that over to God. Because anything that you are and anything you think you have, it's because God's big enough. It's because God's good enough. It's because he loves you so much, right? And in verse 3, it says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness, right? Verse 5 says, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, David prayed. This is the psalmist David, King David. He says, in my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. All of my troubles. That means God cares about every little detail. Every little detail God cares about. That's why he tells us in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all of your care over on him because he cares for you. That word cares, that second word cares means that he cares for you so much that no small detail slides by him unnoticed and that he has not already put into a place a plan to make your provision or to help you. That's a loaded word, isn't it? It's more than just, oh man, I care so much about you. You hear people say that, man, I just care so much about you, but yet they don't really do anything to help you. You know, I care about you. And then when he said that, he's saying, God's saying, give me your care because I actually care for you. In fact, I've already got a plan to put in motion something to bring your provision, to bring your help, to bring your healing, whatever it is you need. I'm going to take care of it if you will just trust in me. How many know the Bible is a book of ifs? If my people who are called by my name, come on, I will do this if you will trust in me. Hallelujah. Okay. So he says, in my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. We talked about the fear of the Lord a couple of weeks ago. Walking in the fear of the Lord. In other words, God, you're right, and anything that doesn't line up with you is wrong. Amen? Is that the kind of life we're living? Are we like all in with God? Are we like, God, no, Lord, I fear you. I have such an awesome reverence and a respect for you that what you say matters above everything else. It matters even matters above how I feel about the situation right now. How many know? Let's be real. We get in situations and we can have some feelings. Man, I got some feelings about what I want to say right now about this. I mean, because this is uncomfortable and I've got some things that I would really like to say right now. But walking in the fear of God means, but I'm not going to give voice to my feelings right now. Because my feelings is not the truth. God's word is the truth. So I'm going to give voice. See, we're good at giving voice. We're good at talking, aren't we? We're good at giving people a piece of our mind that ain't really worth the 2 cents we say it is. Right? Come on. Everybody just look straight ahead and smile. Right? We're all good at it. Even I'm good at it, man. I'm good at letting Heather know if I don't like something. I mean, we're all good at giving our opinion, all good at expressing our emotions. We should be free to express our emotions. Where? Come on, are you with me? Did you come here to hear truth this morning? Okay, where in the Bible does it say that? That we have the right to express our emotions anytime we want to. As a Christian, can I just be honest with you? As a Christian, that's not really the case. As a Christian, our job, when we accepted Christ, what do we call him? Lord and Savior. So he didn't just save you from hell. He also wants to be your Lord. Well, as your Lord, he wants to help you to say the right things. So we surrender our emotions to him. We surrender how we may be feeling about that to him. And we say, Lord, I'm feeling this way, and this is what I want to say about it. But I know that what I'm about to say is contrary to what your word says about it. So therefore, I choose to walk in the fear of you and say, I'm going to say what God says about it. Does that help anybody? Right? We want to, that's what we want to walk in. And this is one of the promises he says for those who fear him. He says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds those and defends all who fear him. So what I'm saying is, God, not my way. How many know there was this really, really famous guy. Really, really famous. And he said these words. Not my will, but your will be done. Who was that? That was Jesus, the Son of God, said, not my will. Because how many know when he was in that garden and he had some emotions. He was feeling some things he was in that garden and he was in serious. I mean, the Bible says his prayer was so intense that he sweat as great drops of blood. How many know that's actually a physical possibility? He is not the only person on the planet that's ever done that. We kind of attribute it to Jesus, but there have been people that have been under so much pressure that internally there's so much pressure and we take on so much stress that it can actually push your blood into your sweat glands and cause you to sweat great drops of blood. Now that is a very pretty rare thing because that takes a lot of pressure. That tells you how much pressure Jesus was under because he knew what he was about to have to go through. And he knew what he was going to have to face. But he says, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup, let what I'm about to experience not happen. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, what my flesh is crying out for, not my will, but what your will is. And because he knew that if God's requiring this of him, he's doing it. He did it for you and he did it for me. And he was willing, because of his love for us, he was willing to go through this for us. Amen. Well, how many know if Jesus is willing to die for us, can we be willing to live for him? Right? And what does it mean to live for him? It means to say, God, I trust you. I lean not to my own understanding, but in all of my ways, I acknowledge you so that you can direct my path. But see, if you're not consulting God, if you're not thinking God, if you're not thinking about scriptures and what the Bible says, then that's how he leads us. Even as we say it, being led by the Spirit. Well, being led by the Spirit is being led by what is in that book. You cannot say, well, I just believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this, but it's not lining up to the book. Because if the Holy Spirit's leading you, he's the one that wrote this book. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, it will be confirmed in this book, in the Bible. This is a Holy Spirit book. That's why it's called Holy, the Holy Bible. Amen. All right, well, let's get on down. I want to leave you with something good here. It's all been good for me, but how many know these things are required? We live in a day where I was heard something the other day, maybe yesterday or the day before. I was watching something on YouTube, a video, and they were talking about how in society today, it's Mike Barber Ministries. He has this massive prison ministry, and he was in there speaking to the men in the prison, and he was talking about how in America, and even throughout the world, but in America, there's this message of grace that is really popular. And the popular message of grace today is you can live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and God's okay with it. And that is not the grace of the Bible. The grace of the Bible does not say, live how you want to live, do how you want to do, talk how you want to talk, act, sleep around, do what, it doesn't matter, just do whatever you want to do. God loves you, it's okay. That's not the message of the Bible. And people say, well, Jesus was all about love and acceptance. No, he wasn't. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus was about love and repentance. How many times do we recall Jesus saying throughout the Gospels, repent? Right? He wasn't saying, it's okay. When he came to the woman that was caught up in adultery. Remember that story? This woman caught up in adultery, and all these religious leaders, they brought her out, and they're ready to stone her, right? And then they thought, well, we're going to catch Jesus now. We're going to take him down with her, right? And they began to ask him what to do. And he just simply kneeled down in the sand, into the dirt, and he began to write. I don't know if he was drawing arrows at the one who was with her. You know, it's so funny. The Bible says she was caught in adultery. But they don't have the guy out there with her. The guy was probably one of the religious leaders. Oh, they didn't have him out there. Where was he? Sometimes I wonder if Jesus wasn't going, that was you, dude. Right? I don't know what he wrote. The Bible doesn't say what he wrote. It's just left for mere speculation. But he began to write in the sand. And then he said, ye, those of you who have never messed up, those of you that have never sinned, go ahead and cast the first stone. And the Bible says, one by one, the stone, can you just, if you just close your eyes and just think of, can we begin to hear the rocks just hitting the ground? Do, 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 do. And the Bible says one by one, they began to drop their stones and walk away. And then he looked around and there was nobody left. And he looked at the woman and he says, where are your accusers? And she says, there are none. He says, neither do I condemn you. Enjoy the rest of your life. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. He didn't say, neither do I condemn you. Go and enjoy the rest of your life. Continue to live how you want to continue to live. He says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. How could we say that today? Neither am I condemning you. I can hear the heart of Jesus saying, but honey, can I tell you there's a better way of living? Don't. In other words, no, Jesus didn't want her to continue committing adultery. But he was telling her, neither do I condemn you, but don't continue living in that lifestyle. That does not sound like love and acceptance to me. That sounds like love and repentance. I love you, but there's a better way of living. Come on, the sooner we accept what the Bible says and quit trying to alter it and change it to fit our circumstances. Come on, no. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. It says, what does the Bible say? Do that. You remember when Jesus was up on the mountain of transfiguration, and who was it? There was Elijah was there, and Moses was there, and the Father, you know, and the disciples, two of the disciples were up there, and they're like, hey, this is amazing. Let's build tabernacles, or let's build altars just for Moses and Elijah and all that. And the Father God speaks out of the heavens, and he says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. Don't get caught up in the law. Don't get caught up in all that kind of stuff. Hear what Jesus is saying. And I'm here to tell you that, and I knew I wasn't going to finish this message today, but that's okay. But I really feel like I'm speaking to somebody today. Hear him. What is Jesus speaking to you? And it will always line up with what's in this Bible. It will never be different. Never. No exceptions. It will never be different than what's written in the pages of this Bible. Amen? All right, let me leave you with this verse. This is the verse I actually was preaching to get to, and I'm just now getting to it. But let me give you this, and then we're done. All right, it says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Well, let me read it in, okay, there it is. I'm going to put, in the New King James, it says it this way. Oh, taste and see. Oh, let me tell you how when I every time I read that, this is what I'm not gonna get real loud, but I'll just kind of give you this is how I read it. Oh, taste and see. Anybody ever been to a restaurant and you tasted something really good and you're with somebody and they're like, oh, I don't want any, and you're like, oh, no. You got to at least try it. Oh, come on. Oh, my goodness. You don't want to miss out on this. This tastes like amazing. You've got to at least try it. That's what I hear when taste and see that the Lord is good. Watch this next one. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Oh, taste and see. Now, I'm gonna share a little bit about that word taste, and then I'm going to call it good for the day, all right? But watch this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. In verse 8, that word taste means it uses the word taste, and it says, we taste what is in our mouth or on our tongue. We taste what is in our mouth or on our tongue. Remember all those other verses we read? Right? Up there in verse, 1 and 2? He said, speak his praises, boast with your mouth only in the Lord, tell with your mouth the Lord's greatness. Come on, we look to him. Come on, how do we experience the goodness of God? By the words that we speak out of our mouth. How do we taste and see that the Lord is good? Because we're declaring his promises. We're declaring what he says. And that's what Jesus was saying to the woman, basically. He says, hey, neither do I condemn you. Now go and live life in a different way. In other words, don't live in that negative. Live in the positive. Live for what I created you to do, not for what the flesh is trying to demand of you. Come on. Taste and see. We taste with what is in our mouth and what is on our tongue. Listen to this. To taste his goodness, it's got to be on our tongue. To taste his goodness. So what am I saying? It's the words of your mouth, the things that you speak. The words of your mouth, the things that you speak, that's how you taste and see that the Lord is good. We're magnifying God, right? We're saying, God, you're bigger. God is big enough. God is big enough. No matter what this situation is, God is big enough. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to stop right there. There's much more to be said, and we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But come on, stand up on your feet. God is big enough. I want you to right now just begin to think of the situations in your life that you see as a challenge. Amen. You need healing? By his stripes, I am healed. Not, oh man, my back is killing me. Oh, you just don't understand. If your back hurt as much as my back hurt, if your legs hurt as much as my legs hurt, or if your head hurt as much as my head, you wouldn't be saying all those things. Come on, I have been in situations, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I have been in situations where parts of my body hurt. English scholar, and I had to go take a half semester after graduation just to get my diploma in English. So English is not my thing, as you can hear. I'm from the South, so I talk weird, right? But this is what I do know. It's a present tense action verb. Faith is always in the now, right? So faith comes by, this is what that word hearing means. Faith comes by hearing. It's a present tense action verb. It's always happening. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So what? Your life goes in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So how are our thoughts conveyed? With our words. So the Bible tells us in Matthew, it says, take no thought saying. Take no thought. How do we take thoughts? God's not holding you accountable for the thoughts that come to your mind. What he does hold us accountable for is what we do with those thoughts. So when a negative thought comes, do we take that? How do we take that thought? We begin to talk about that thought. We begin to talk the negativity. We begin to talk. Now, I'm not saying you can't communicate. If you're talking to the doctor about what's going on in your body, you got to communicate. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when you're by yourself or you're just constantly talking about the pain, constantly talking about the sickness, constantly talking about the challenge, constantly talking about the defeat that seems to be in your life, constantly, constantly, constantly talking. Come on, I'm asking you, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do we experience the indescribable goodness of God? We begin to speak his word. We begin to speak his promises. We begin to speak what he says about the situation. You say, well, if I say something and that's not what really happening, isn't that lying? No, it's not lying. What is lying? Lying is to say something with the willful intent to deceive somebody. That's what a lie is. When you willfully say something for the purpose of deceiving somebody, that's a lie. But how can you be lying when you repeat what God's word says? He is truth and there is no lies in him. So when you speak the word, you're not trying to trick anybody. You're speaking truth, right? And then as you speak that truth goes out and the angels gather those words of that truth and they begin to manifest what you said. David said this. He says, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me. Why? Because he knew the power of words. When I speak negative things, there are evil spirits that are sitting right there wanting to catch those negative words and say, now we've got something to work with. Because they just took the thought that we presented. They bit the bait. So now they're talking all this negative stuff. Now we have legal right to bring that negative stuff to pass in their life. But the Bible says, they are taking the words that you said from the book and they're like, we can work with that. We can work. Here's the problem. Too many times we don't give our angels much work to do. We don't give our angels much work to do because we're too busy complaining and talking about how bad. And please hear my heart. I know that it can be painful. I know that the struggle is real. But we can change the struggle. We can change the struggle by declaring his word. Superimposing his word over the challenge and allowing the ministering angels to change the challenge and turn it from a challenge to a victory. Amen. How many know there is no testimony without a test? We all face tests, but we can take our words and we can turn that test into a testimony for the glory of God. Amen.
Thank you for watching today's message. Please like, comment, and subscribe. The Difference Church is a church that loves God by loving people. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world and that hope helps us to impact people's lives with purpose and passion. All are invited to come and hang out with us as we pursue the amazing love that God has for all of us. So come and be the difference with us as we share this amazing love with the world around us. At The Difference Church, there's a place for you. The Difference Church is located at 1055 Bain Street Southeast in Albany, Oregon. Join us online or in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.